Early start, early finish. We'd like to say welcome to our visitors. It's good to see you. You belong to us, really, but it's nice to see you. And those who have travelled from America to be back here, thank you very much. And nothing's changed since you all came before. Tea and coffee is served following our worship. But of course, today is our open-air day. And we invite you to join us on the triangle at 12:05. Now, as you can see, we have an outside band, nobody on the inside, and we're very short of players. So if anyone would like to push a barrow of chairs up to the open air or the speaker, we would appreciate it very much indeed. This week, Sally Wags are on, as usual, on Monday, and the food bank will be open from 10 to 1pm. On Wednesday, from 10 to 12, the Job Club. Now, this started last Wednesday and was very successful. So that's from 10 to 12. And then at 1:30, Friends Together meet. Thursday, coffee morning, 10 to 12, and at 3:30 in the afternoon, the Explorers will meet. Next Sunday is Mother's Day, and Majors David and Linda will be conducting our worship for that day. On March the 16th at 1 o'clock is the celebration for the life of Major Margaret Lawrence. And a little bit further on Thursday, March the 21st at 7pm, it's leading up to the Easter Devotions on Holy Week by the band and the songsters. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoy the worship.
Good morning, everyone. Morning. That sounds loud. That's good, isn't it? You can hear me. I've got no doubt. It's good to welcome you here this morning and to welcome you into God's presence. We've all got a lot on our minds. We've got a lot to distract us. But God is with us through his Holy Spirit this morning. So let's, from the very beginning, put our focus on him. We heard the tune of our opening song this morning. I thought I'd go a little bit army barmy and give the opportunity to some to have a good old clap. And we can't do much better than this one. God's love to me is wonderful. And I invite you to stand as we join and sing together. We'll sing the song through, because I'll be going back to sit in the band.
Thank you.
just a short moment, a few moments ago, a few of us gathered in the community hall in prayer, and I read from Psalm 136. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And you'll see that the theme of God's love permeates throughout our meeting today. Because without the assurance of God's faithful love, what are we? And later on in the meeting, we'll be called upon to give in the self-denial appeal. And without God's eternal love, how can we have the confidence to give? His love endures forever. So we continue in sing worship, and we turn to that beautiful song, and I think we just sang it 2 weeks ago. Such love, pure as the whitest snow. Such love weeps for the shame I know. Such love paying the debt I owe. Oh Jesus, such love. Let's join together in singing these words. Such love, filling my emptiness. Simon, can we go back to that second verse? Stilling my restlessness. That love, the foundation of everything that we are. Shall we pray? And I'm going to leave the floor open for anyone to pray, to respond to the Holy Spirit in these moments. And it might be that no one will. And that's fine. We can make our own prayers in our own hearts, minds and souls. But we can also simply enjoy the silence and enjoy the God's presence among us. If anyone feels led to pray, now is the time. Let us pray.
Loving Father, we come to you this morning and we thank you for that amazing love. We thank you for filling our emptiness. And maybe some of you gathered here this morning and perhaps you feel a little bit empty. But Lord, we come because we know that we need you here this morning. We know that your Holy Spirit will flow amongst us. And Lord, I just particularly would bring Martin's son Jack to you this morning. A young man who is very, very poorly in the Roman hospital. But Lord, we believe God answers prayer. And we're all praying fervently for that young man. And Lord, I just pray that you will be his strength today. That you will be with Martin and Gemma as they return. Lord, I thank you for last Tuesday when our hall was full of Patricia's family and friends. Another amazing time, Lord, when we felt your presence, when we knew that you were here. And this morning, I just ask you in the name of Jesus, Lord, to just fill each of us with your Spirit. Fill us each with your Spirit. And help us, Lord, to be just what you want us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for these quiet moments that are rest for our often weary souls, Lord. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you that we're able to draw near to you and converse with you. We place all the things that are worrying us at this time at your feet, Lord. We place all our joys at your feet, Lord. And we thank you that you're a God that is not distant, that you're a God that gets involved in all the aspects of our life. And we thank you that we are loved. And we thank you for your Son who died on the cross as a manifestation of that love for each and every one of us. Lord, we place the remainder of this time of worship in your hands, and we pray that it would bring you glory as well as strengthen your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And over to the songsters now, who will be led by Neil this morning, and they're bringing us a song called Worthy, a worship song called Worthy. Thank you, songsters, for a wonderful song of praise and worship. We continue today with our fifth and final self-denial video, which I think is going to bring all the others together. We've been to Greenland, we've been to India, and we've been to Uruguay. Let's see what today's brings.
Hello, and welcome to the last of our films for this year's Self-Denial Appeal. Salvation Army Officership has been our focus this year as we think about the international work of the Salvation Army. For the last few weeks, we've joined Salvation Army officers in three different parts of the world. In Greenland, we met Captain Nathaniel. In India, we met Captains Anthony and Markimi. And in Uruguay, we met Lieutenants Jose and Kayla. We've had a glimpse of their daily lives. Nathaniel is serving in Nuuk in Greenland. He's the only Salvation Army officer in the whole country.
We are functioning mostly with money from abroad. Some from Denmark, some from the UK, some from international mission funding. The number of lives that we are touching and we've been involved in is amazing. This is very important work, great work that is only possible because faithful believers from other countries give sacrificially.
Captains Anthony and Markimi run an adult rehabilitation centre in eastern India. The centre helps men with addictions to drugs and alcohol and supports them on their recovery journey. The work is hard, but Anthony and Markimi are absolutely committed to following God's call. Last week, we met Lieutenants Jose and Kayla, who run two Salvation Army Corps in Salto in Uruguay and host a daily food distribution programme. They're confident about why the Salvation Army is needed in the city.
La primera instancia del Ejército de Salvación en Salto es está predicando el Evangelio de Jesucristo y atendiendo las necesidades de la sociedad sin discriminación alguna.
Nos hace sentir de que también nosotros somos parte de esta familia muy, muy grande a nivel mundial, porque más allá de las diferencias de cada país, es como que el escudo rojo del Ejército de Salvación nos une.
Your self-denial money will support the global mission of the Salvation Army. Some goes to our mission partners, the rest to international headquarters, who distribute it to the parts of the world that need it most. It funds the essential background things that enable the vital frontline work to carry on year after year. And that includes the amazing work being done all around the world by Salvation Army officers. It's not too late to give to self-denial. You may have already used this year's collection box or the envelope. This QR code links to a donate option on salvationist.org.uk. And if you have a standing order set up, you can make a payment that way. The Self-Denial Appeal is all about enabling the Salvation Army's mission around the world. And the Salvation Army officers we've seen are playing their part. The Salvation Army is doing some incredible work in some very diverse and often challenging places. A lot of the work we've seen is only possible because of the money that's given through self-denial. The work doesn't stop. There's more to be done, and your self-denial money is making and will make a world of difference. Over the years, so many of you have given generously and selflessly. Thank you for what you have already given and for what you are going to give this year. And let's remember, self-denial happens in Salvation Army Corps around the world. So while we think about our contributions here, our sisters and brothers worldwide are doing the same.
It's exciting stuff. Ordinary stuff, actually, in very many ways. But it wouldn't be possible without our our financial support. And of course, later on in the meeting, we'll have the opportunity to give. Jim's got empty envelopes that can be filled, hopefully, later on, if you've forgotten to bring yours. And obviously, today's not the deadline. You can give if you've not come prepared today. You can give over the next couple of weeks. I'm sure that will be fine. And we can arrange that. We've not prayed very much for the videos that we've seen, and I think it's mostly been because of circumstances, but we've been provided with a responsive prayer for today. So let's join together in having a look at that. And have I put the wrong PowerPoint in? Yes, I have. Shall we pray for our brothers and sisters? Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are at work in our world, and we thank you, Lord, that there are people who give up employment to serve you full time. And we think this morning of these officers in our partner territories. We think of Nathanael over in Greenland. We think of Anthony and Makimi in northeastern India. And we think of Jose and Kayla and Uruguay, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would strengthen them. That you would strengthen the call in their lives, and that you would enable them, Lord, to share glimpses of the kingdom in the places where they are placed. We think of all the officers in those territories, Lord. And we think of all the volunteers and soldiers that work with them. And we pray, Lord, that what we give this morning would be used wisely, Lord. Often in those unglamorous things that still need paying for, Lord, the hardware. The stuff that's really hard to fundraise for. Lord, we thank you that we are able to be generous, Lord. And we pray that you would, that our gifts would bear fruit because we give them for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Right. You're going to come with me, Martha. I've got an old-fashioned game with me. I've got an old-fashioned game. Any ideas? Marbles. Anyone ever played... Martha, have you ever played marbles? No? I don't think Martha has. Hudson, have you ever played marbles? No. Ava? No. Ayla? No. Max, have you? So marbles is kind of an old-fashioned game. We played it when I was a boy, 35 years ago. And generations before that used to play them as well. So I think the idea is that we have a circle, right? So there's lots of ways of playing this game. I'm just going to kind of show one. And perhaps one of the kind of more mature members of our congregation might have other suggestions as well. So I'm going to give you a marble each, right? I'll give you a marble each. Just one each. Anyone else want to play? James? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to put the rest of the marbles here in the middle. In the middle. Like this. Okay? And the idea is we're each going to take turns. And with the marble that we've got, we're going to flick it. We're going to flick it in our finger, with our finger. And those marbles that come outside of my little bit of string. You know, usually if we were doing this outdoors, we would have done it in the mud, really. Whatever marbles you knock out from this kind of zone marked out by this piece of string, you get to hold on to. Okay? Get to hold on to. Okay? So, Max, do you want to go first? Oh, no, well, never mind. You hold on to that. This is a practice run anyway. Woo! Ooh, not bad. Oh, not bad, Felicity. So shall I go next? This is boring. Oh, no, can I have mine back, please? Thank you. I did a rubbish job. Oh, that was Hudson. Martha. Oh, I've got a terrible feet. Oh! So you get to keep these two then, for now at least. Woo! Not bad, Ava. I'm quite glad that you've moved that one. Opened ours up a bit. Okay, well, we've lost the order here, but let's try and win a few more. Ah, ooh! Sorry, I'm getting a bit carried away here. Andy, you don't have a little camera that you could have... Ah, what a shame. Yeah, just flick it and then try and... And those marbles that you move... Okay, let's have another go. Oh, who's the... Right, I'm going to have a... Is there any expert marble players in the house? Brian. Brian, how... take that shooter.
Right, so let's see what I can do now.
Whoa, there we go. There's the expert. There's the experience coming out. So the idea is then at the end of the game, you might have like a handful of four or five marbles. But this, if I remember correctly, this was a very important part of the game, right? Is before we started, we would decide whether we were playing for fun or whether we were playing for keeps. When we played for fun, everyone took their own marbles back. When you played for keeps, you get to keep the marbles. Am I right, Kevin? Is that your recollection of the rules of the game? Can't remember. Goodness me. Yeah, so that was the name. That was the name of the game. When you played for fun, you put the marbles back in. Everyone took their marbles back. When you played for keeps, you got to keep what you won. I think in the world in which we live, a lot of people are living life for keeps. And they're trying to hold on to everything they've got. Nice cars. Nice houses. They're playing for keeps. They want to hold on to these things. And that's all that matters. But what I want to tell you this morning is that we don't need to play for keeps in life because we've got Jesus. And when we've got Jesus, we've got everything that we need. When we've got Jesus, we've got everything that we need. And that allows us then to be generous with others because we don't need to be running after things that are not important. When we've got Jesus, we've got everything that we need. Can I have my marbles back, please? Can I have my marbles back? Because we're not playing for keeps today. We're certainly not playing for keeps. And I need my marbles back. I don't want anyone to accuse me of losing them. Oh, lovely. Oh, thanks, Max. You've been very helpful. Thank you very much, Ava. Oh, here comes Eva. Lovely. Brilliant. I think it's Sunday school time for you guys. I think it's Joe and Lisette that are looking after. Joe and Gillian. Joe. It's Joe and Julie that are going out with the kids into Sunday school. Have a brilliant time. Have a brilliant time. Learn lots. Have fun. Oh, and we'll be... And we'll see you later on. We look forward to seeing you later. Oh, I've got a little friend with me. Right, so what's next? It's the band. Message from the band. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Thank you. You can't beat a bit of a cowbell on a Sunday morning, can you? But what that was missing was a couple of sombreros. And I think that would have just added to the picture, an idea for next time, perhaps. Ben. Oh yes. Lisette's just had a vision. Be warned, be careful. Timbrose. The worship band are getting ready, and we're going to join together in singing Cornerstone. The person that asked for Cornerstone isn't here today, but I should have known that she wasn't, because she's here every other week. So it's my fault. But we're going to sing Cornerstone together, and while we sing Cornerstone, our normal weekly tithes and cartridges and offerings will be taken up. But let's stand and join together and proclaim Christ as our cornerstone.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong with the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. When darkness seems to hide His face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. My anchor holds within the veil. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. Trumpet sounds, oh may I then in Him be found, dressed in His righteousness alone. Faultless I'll stand before the throne. Faultless I'll stand before the throne. Chorus. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
And again,
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong in the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. chorus again. Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong through the Savior's love. Through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all.
Amen. Please take your seats. The traveller returns and he's going to share the Bible reading with us this morning.
Well, first of all, let me say how good it is to be back. You know, we've been with a very different church family these last couple of months. And 2 months makes a massive difference. For instance, this morning, the thing I noticed most was how much the children had grown in 2 months. Little Eva was just crawling up to the stage when we left in December, and now she's running around. And I'd not realised how much this band makes to a service in the morning. And you know, we kind of take that for granted, and when you're away from it, you really miss it. So thanks ever so much. And to the songsters, because we really do enjoy such beautiful music here at the Salvation Army, don't we? So thanks for that. And so it's a privilege this morning to bring God's word. I've had to revert to my phone because I can't read this small print in this Bible that Paul gave me. So this morning we're reading from the book of Hebrews, and it's chapter 13. Verses 12 to 16. And so Jesus also suffered outside the city gate to make the people holy through his own blood. Let us then go to him outside the camp, bearing the disgrace that he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we are looking for the city that is to come. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Word of God.
Self-denial is a strange concept, I believe, in this day and age. We live in a society that's focused on the self, and instant self-gratification seems to be the one main driving force of our culture. And I think for others, self-denial might seem quite old-fashioned anyway. And it reminds us of the privations endured during World War II and subsequent years. Self-denial is a strange and foreign concept in our society, and I think maybe to many of us too. So why do we do it? Why do we do it? Why are we called upon to deny ourselves? It's a good question. In one that some might be asking this morning. And self-denial, though, is an inescapable part of life with Jesus. And we'll explore that briefly in a few moments' time. But later on this morning, we'll be taking part in a financial appeal where we are called upon to give the proceeds, to give away the proceeds of our self-denial. That's where the origins of this appeal are found. An officer approached the founder, General William Booth, and said, "Oh, I'm going to give up my pudding for a whole year to finance an aspect of the Salvation Army's international mission." Even William Booth thought that 1 year was too excessive and brought it down to 1 month. Many this morning will be giving, I'm sure, out of a sense of habit, out of a sense of duty. And very often I find myself among that number. But in a sense, we're also called to mirror the deprivations of our brothers and sisters in Christ, the deprivations that they are facing as they strive to advance the kingdom in the communities in which they have been placed. So why we do it is a good question, but how we do it might be a better one. And what so I ask this morning, and I'm going to attempt to answer, what are the attitudes then that ought to shape our giving this morning? But let's go back to the why, just to kind of get us started. Firstly, we are challenged by Jesus' example. And this is what we read, well-known words that probably predate their writing by Paul the Apostle. And I'm reading from Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 to 8. And we're speaking about Jesus. Jesus, who by being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. And this is amazing. And this is what jumps out off the page to me, particularly this week as I was preparing for this morning. The Son of God, it's not just anyone, the Son of God did not use his status to his own advantage, but put his position to one side and accepted the most humiliating punishment. He denied himself, put his status to one side, and gave his life up. Secondly, Jesus calls us to follow his lead. And I'm reading here from Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, well-known words. Once again, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Self-denial is the way of Christ and the route we must take to follow him. Self-denial comes as a necessary outworking of following Christ. Thirdly, and this is the topic proper of today's message, the writer to the Hebrews reminds us that everything we do, we do as a sacrifice of praise to the God that has done so much for us. So how does this then shape our attitude to giving in our altar service today? And I'm going to suggest four things. And the first is this: we give willingly. When we are called later on to give, we do so willingly. The author of the letter to the Hebrews encourages his readers to continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God as a response to Christ's sacrifice for them. And this is going to sound daft, it will sound trite, but I'm going to say it anyway. Praise wouldn't be praise if it wasn't done willingly. It becomes something else. It becomes a performance. It becomes a duty. But for praise to be praise, for worship to be worship, it must be done willingly. So this is how we should approach our giving this morning. We give willingly as a sacrifice of praise to the God who has done so much for us. And this is well illustrated by Jesus when he tells the story of a widow who gave her very last penny. She gave everything she had without anything to fall back on, except God's promise to meet her needs, as he did through Elijah and the widow at Zarephath. And we read that story in 1 Kings chapter 17. This widow used her last bit of flour and oil to make the prophet some bread. And God kept the oil and the flour flowing. When we reach this point of submission to God's will, He will not fail us. And we will be released to experience the joy of willing giving. Secondly, we give because we must. So we give this morning to enable others to have lips that openly profess His name, to quote verse 15 of today's Bible reading. There are plenty of members of our own denomination whose ability to profess the name of Christ is severely hindered by a lack of resources. And it's true, looking at these examples from the Salvation Army that we've seen over the last 4 weeks, that very few of them, none of them are financially sustainable. Captain Nathaniel said so much on today's video. Not one thing that he does could he do without finance from the outside. And I don't think that any of the examples we have seen today are financially sustainable. But each one of them has been incarnational. Each one of them has been located amongst the people and motivated by the desire to proclaim Jesus. So we've seen these examples of fellow salvationists living among the people, often at personal cost. And if I remember the India video correctly from a few weeks ago, Captains Anthony and Makimi have left their children in a faraway city so that they can go and serve in the place where God and the Salvation Army has set them. That sounds like self-denial to me in the way of Christ. But they do so. They do so so that they can be Jesus in the communities in which they are found. So in this sense, we must give in order to support the work of our fellow salvationists in lifting high the name of Jesus. Thirdly, we also give because it's the right thing to do. Among the letter writer's last words of encouragement in today's passage is an exhortation to always do good. Do good. And it's interesting to note that the writer doesn't elaborate more on what doing good might mean. But I wonder if attitude here is something to do with it also. So it's not about so much about what we do, but why we do it or how we do it. There's an African proverb that says you cannot shave a man's head in his absence. An interesting example. You cannot shave a man's head in his absence. And it's true. You cannot do something for someone without them being there, without them being involved, without there being some sort of a relationship. It would be too easy for us this morning to stuff a few coins, to stuff a few notes, to stuff a check into an envelope, And then forget about it. And to think that our duty has been completed for another year. And dismiss these facets of God's mission in these far-flung places as someone else's problem. Because here we're not talking about faraway people in faraway places. We're talking about our brothers and sisters in Christ. We are talking about our fellow warriors in the salvation fight. So we're talking about supporting people who are doing the same work as us in different places. In Uruguay, in India, in Greenland. So we want our brothers and sisters in this fight to feel valued and empowered. We don't want them to be recipients of our handouts. So with that comes a sense of dignity, I believe, for all of us. So this thought should also shape our attitude to our giving this morning. These are not handouts. We give to enable and empower others to carry out God's work. Finally, and this is the last thing that today's text teaches us, well, for today at least, we give because God is pleased when we get it right. And this is exactly what the writer to the Hebrews says in verse 16. For such sacrifices are pleasing to God. And this kind of sense of self-denial, this sense of sacrifice, ought to be the foundation of our whole living. Famously, once again, we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. When we get things right, when we give with an attitude of praise, when we live our lives with an attitude of praise, when we give with the right attitude of partnership in God's mission, when we get it right, God is pleased. So here's the challenge of self-denial. Is God pleased with what we are doing? Is God pleased with what we are giving? Is God pleased with what we are doing in his name? When it comes to our giving, of course, it's not about sums of money. But it's about an attitude. When our giving is not a handout, when our giving is given with is done with the right attitude, becomes an act of love, a spiritual discipline. Because God reminds us over and over that we love because he first loved us. So what we do now is no more or less than a response to his love for us. So here is a final challenge, and this is a more general challenge. Are we seeking to fulfill that chief end in our lives, to glorify God? So it's with this attitude this morning that we move on to our altar service. We give with an attitude of praise, an attitude of empowering others in the mission that we share with them of bringing about the kingdom of God in the world around us. We're going to sing two songs right now. I Will Offer Up My Life and Jesus Christ, I Think Upon Your Sacrifice. It's because of what Christ has done for us that I invite you now to give in support of the Salvation Army's mission around the world. I think we'll start with this block here, move over in a sort of Mexican wave, maybe we'll do that once, and finish with the band, and let us join together in worship through our giving this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are a thankful people. Words cannot properly express how thankful we are at the gift of Christ. We're also a privileged people because we are able to support others through our giving. In how they go about spreading the good news of your Son. We pray that the gifts collected this morning would be used for your glory in all these different parts of the world that we've considered over these last few weeks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We finish our worship this morning with another foot stomper. To God be the glory, great things he has done. And I invite you to carry on with your exercises this morning. Once again, if you're able, as we join together in extolling God's praises. I leave you with them words from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 11, verses 33-36, and this is our doxology. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? Who has ever given to God that God should repay them? For from him and through him and for him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.